case you're wondering, it's not easier the second time. That Mac we were planning on getting for your birthday, you can just send it back. If you look in Isaiah 61, I got in trouble last year for saying that Marco liked to clean, so I won't say anything this year. Lately, when I read the Bible and everything, I've been more rebuked, not so much in that you need to go and do the work, than more than the attitude and the way that I do it. Because a lot of times, well, I think even all of you, you do what you need to do, but sometimes I think I was examining myself and I don't do it the way that I should. And the attitude sometimes isn't right. Sometimes it's just doing it for the sake of doing what we think we should do. And I was reading in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." When we changed our day for door knocking because of it's just easier school. We used to do it on Mondays, and usually there's activities then. So we did it Tuesday, and we ended up running into a whole bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses everywhere we go. It doesn't matter if we change the neighborhood or just everywhere. And so we get a lot of, "Oh, they already came here." No, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're Christians. And but just seeing them all the time, and so many of them, it really rebukes you. They're very faithful, and they're very persistent. They knock at a door, and they stay there a long time until you open. They knock and knock and knock, and sometimes, you know, we just knock and, oh, okay, then hopefully they won't open and leave. And so that really, several of the sisters and I, we saw that, you know, we need to be more persistent. We don't need to just go and knock on the door and then hope they don't answer or just quickly. You know, the way they do, they don't even have the truth, and they really try. And then there was this other thing that rebuked me this year was one of the sisters they mentioned, she's the doctor, and the way she witnesses to people really put me to shame. And she just really has so much joy, and she just really tells you, like, you know, this is the best thing in the world, and it makes you want to get saved again, you know. I'm like, wow, yeah, that's right. Why didn't they ever tell me like that? So, and usually I think of the gospel like, okay, it's heaven and hell, and it's about people. You don't want to go to condemnation. You want to get saved, and you'll have eternal life when you die. And this passage made me remember that that's not just, God doesn't just want to save us. He doesn't want to just have us not go to hell. Amen. But he wants to change our lives, yeah, while we're on earth.
Amen.
It says, preach good tidings.
Yes.
And sometimes I hear myself almost apologizing for bothering the people. You know, I'm sorry, but I would like to tell you about something. When we have great news to give them.
They need
good news, good tidings. And it's to benefit them. This is not bothering them. This is giving them something that's important to them. And even though they don't want to hear it, it's great news. It's like, you know, if you have to tell someone, "Hey, you just won $1 million," you won't just be like, "Hey, you won $1 million." You'd be so excited, you know, you're getting good news to these people. And
that's right.
And I want to have that attitude where this is great and I want to tell you about it. And,
yes.
And that's what I've been rebuked with. And I want to change the way I approach evangelizing and not just say, "Here's, well, you can get saved this way and that way," but really show them something that they want. You know, when good salesmen, they make you want to buy their product. They want you, yeah, like, "Oh, wow, give me two of those." And that's what I want to do. I want to bring good tidings, good news to them, and not just tell them how to get saved. It says, "Bind up the brokenhearted." The Lord wants to heal their lives. He wants to mend what's broken and fix everything in their life. In Jeremiah 33:6, it says, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth." And this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to cure all people and all the things that are wrong with us. And He wants to give us an abundance of peace so that we can, there's people out there with so much suffering and they can have peace and truth even though they have problems. Because God can heal these things. It says, proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound. The Bible says that we're bound by sin, we're bound by this world, by Satan. And He wants to set them free. He wants to take them out of the prisons that they're in. And in John 8:36, it says, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Amen.
And, you know, we have that freedom now, but sometimes it almost seems like, you know, we don't remember that. We are now free. We used to be slaves. We used to be prisoners. And now we're free, and they can have the same freedom. It also says in Romans 6:22 that we've been made free from sin to be servants to God. And let me read it. In Romans 6:22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life."
Amen.
And this really blessed me because it reminded me not only what I need to tell them, but what He's done for me.
Yeah.
He has set me free. He has cured me. He has, it also says, He's comfort all that mourn. Give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for spirit of heaviness. He wants to make things, all things better for us. He wants to give us joy and happiness and comfort. And we need to remember this, that he can do all these things in our life, even when we've been saved for a while. And it says that the end says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And, you know, what they've been talking about a lot is holiness. We need to seek that holiness so that we can actually be trees of righteousness, that God planted us and we give fruit. And it says, at the end, it says that He might be glorified. And all this, salvation benefits us, but it's all for the glory of God. In Isaiah 60:21, it says, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." And all these things are so that God can be glorified, that we can honor Him, we can praise Him with our life. It says, the work of my hands. And if I'm not what I should be, if I'm not acting like I should, then I'm not glorifying God. I'm sure the Lord is not proud of the work that He's done in my life. And that's not His fault. I need to change these things because He has done something marvelous. He has set me free. He has healed me. He has done so much. And He can do the same for others. And I just need to have that joy when I tell them about it. And really sell it to them. Because it's something that they don't think that they want, but that they need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.